Welcome to Coffee and Jesus. I'm your host, Jael Penn, coming to you from the great state of Texas. I'm super excited to talk to you guys today about a difficult subject, anger. Anger is a normal emotion, and yet some of us can control it better than others. We all wear masks at different points in our lives. We hide in plain sight, appearing to be happy, like we have it all together, but we don't. One of these masks is anger. We guard our hearts with it instead of getting to the root of the problem. I am overjoyed to be talking to you about this so that you can have freedom from this stronghold. I don't think it's a mistake that you're listening to this podcast. God wants you to see if what you are doing and saying is in alignment with God's word. Be open to hear his voice as you listen to this podcast. He's going to meet you right where you are. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You can start the healing process right now by speaking life over whatever's making you angry. What you say, think, and believe matters. There is hope no matter what your current situation entails. Now, emotions, of course, were created by God, and anger is one of those emotions. Therefore, you are going to get angry from time to time. Yet it is the result of our anger that can be a problem. On occasion, remember in the Bible, Jesus himself was angry. So there are moral and ethical justifications for anger. I want you to get ready to see anger in a brand new way. Chains will be broken and peace will be restored. Let's start by thinking about how you were raised and the influential people in your life as a child. Were your caregivers loving, compassionate, forgiving, or abusive, controlling, jealous, full of pride, or peaceful? How did they react when they were angry? Were you allowed to express your anger? The answers to those questions matter, because your past has shaped you into who you are today. Let's say you had a perfect childhood with perfect parents. Perhaps your anger developed later in life as a result of betrayal, abuse, divorce, rape, or some other negative traumatic adult experience. These events can be psychological roots embedded in your memories. Anger could be a generational stronghold for your family. Your family can be delivered from this bondage. You can break the curse for generations to come by closing this door. You need to ask God to help you release your family from this stronghold. Now, I forgot to tell you that I am a certified anger management specialist, so this is kind of my thing. Let's talk about the types of anger. If you look on the internet or get any books, you're going to see up to at least 12 types of anger. There are many, many types. Mental health professionals have several categories, but I've tried to break them down into four main groups. The first one is passive. This includes sarcasm, spreading gossip, slander, self-inflicted wounds, or causing problems for someone else without ever confronting them. This person usually plots revenge in their head. An example would be an anonymous cyberbully. Do you have the picture of someone in mind who may be a passive angry person? I do. The next type is aggressive. Aggressive anger can be any or all of the following: violent, abusive, confrontational, controlling, or any other action where the source of your anger is verbally attacked, threatened, or physically assaulted. A classic example would be domestic violence, the husband who beats his wife. Our third type is chronic anger, which refers to the person who is habitually angry about everything and everyone. This person is probably depressed or physically sick. They may have trouble keeping a job or staying in relationships. An example would be an alcoholic. And our last type is the constructive anger, which is justified. It is morally acceptable, because something is going on that violates human rights or dignity and changes need to be made. An example would be an advocate against human trafficking. So which type of anger do you think you have? Or if you're not listening to this for you, which type of anger do you think the person that you're wondering about has? So pray and dig deep to hear what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. If you are prideful, this little exercise is going to be uncomfortable for you. Trust me, I did not want to face my anger. I had a lot of pride. Yet today I am at peace and full of joy because I surrendered it to God. Do I still get angry? Of course. However, I can control it better and I can pray my way through it. You can learn how to channel your anger. But first, you have to acknowledge it. Now that we have talked about the different categories of anger, let's work on changing our mindset. All decisions start in the mind, and I strongly encourage you to read Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. This book is going to give you greater insight into how to control your thoughts, which will lead to you controlling your actions. It's possible that the things you are angry about are not even problems. In the grand scheme of things, is the source of your anger really that important? Will what you are angry about matter tomorrow, next week, or next year? Satan has a doorway to our thoughts and emotions because of what we say. Therefore, when he hears the angry words, we have given him the ammunition that he needs. He's going to use our words like bullets to break up marriages, get us fired, etc. He wants us to feel alone, hopeless, and unloved. Now you know that Satan is the father of lies. His job is to destroy us, distract us, or isolate us. He wants to do anything he can to make us doubt God's love for us. We need to walk in truth and not in the shadow of Satan's deception. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives in you. Test what you are thinking and feeling against God's word. Put on the full armor of God. I encourage you to read and memorize Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Defeat the enemy by praising your way out of negative circumstances. You know, the Bible is our instruction manual for life. And in God's word, there is a plan for changing our mindset. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." The majority of the world is angry because they don't know Jesus. We should have peace in our hearts because of the Holy Spirit living in us. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to bring every thought into captivity. This tells me that God has given us the ability to control our thoughts. If you can control your thoughts, then you can respond instead of react. There's a difference. So reflecting on what I've told you so far, what thoughts do you need to get rid of in order to heal? What have you already learned about yourself or the person you're trying to get along with? Has the Holy Spirit revealed to you what you need to do or change? Is your thought life the problem? Peace of mind is very important for your physical and mental health. If you're always angry, then you can't function normally and your relationships will suffer. Now, you may have grown up in a dysfunctional home, and so you honestly don't know what peace looks like or sounds like or feels like. If you don't have a frame of reference for peace, then you need to hang around people who are peaceful. Just because you grew up in an angry, dysfunctional home doesn't mean that your home and your family has to be angry. Make the decision not to attend every argument you are invited to. As an educator, I deal with angry kids and parents all the time. I have found that praying while someone is going off helps me to stay calm. When the Holy Spirit takes over, then my tone and my words change. I become softer and I can understand the other person's point of view. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." And James 3:18 says, "Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." And last, Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." One of the primary roots of anger is fear. And fear will definitely rob you of your peace. Satan uses lies to torment us, that is, memories of abandonment, rejection, loss, etc. Fear can either equip you, guard you, or keep you from moving forward. You can be delivered from chronic fear or irrational fear by relying on God's strength. We serve a God who does not know what the word limits and boundaries mean, because he's everywhere and he's everything, so he can do anything for anyone at any time. If you give in, fear will overtake your life. You will be filled with paranoia, confusion, depression, and anger. Other symptoms of fear can include worrying, obsessing about the past, being overly critical, and not being able to trust people. Faith is the opposite of fear. If your thoughts and emotions don't line up with God's word, then you are being controlled by fear. It's time to let that go. Let's let that go so that you can live in all that God has for you. There are some symptoms of fear-based thinking, so let's talk about those for a minute. Always blaming everybody else is a symptom of fear. You're constantly defensive. Do you see and constantly point out other people's mistakes or flaws? A controlling person is usually angry because they can't control everything and they haven't figured that out yet. But remember this. Controlling people are very insecure, so we need to pray for them. We can overcome fear by doing the following things. Speak God's word over your life. Be courageous in your daily walk. Release your fears to God. Face your fears. It's really just that simple. Another root could be unforgiveness. The last nail in the coffin of obtaining true freedom from anger is forgiveness. The deepest, strongest root is the inability to forgive. Eventually, this anger becomes bitterness, which is a slow form of spiritual death. You want the other person to suffer, but all you've done, honey, is put yourself in bondage to that other person because they live in your thoughts. So they have control over your joy and your peace. God tells us to forgive other people just as he has forgiven us. And I know this can be difficult, and I had trouble with this for a long time for many reasons. And yet, it has to be done. When you are bitter, then really it's like self-imprisonment. You are emotionally bound to the other person that you won't forgive. And there's probably some hate in your heart towards this other person. There is no room for hate in the life of a Christian. The best way to get out of the prison you have built for yourself is to pray for the other person who hurt you. I know why. You don't want to, and they don't deserve it. Forgiveness is not about them. It's about you. When you forgive the other person, you will experience freedom. The weight that you have been carrying will be lifted. And you close the door to Satan's manipulation and control over you. Matthew 6:14 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Ephesians 4:31-32 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you." One of the things you may need to work on, and you may need to go to someone to actually help you with this, is effective communication. We all know everybody else's triggers around us, and so a lot of times we can squash angry, volatile situations just with the words we say. Try using I statements when you communicate. Instead of you did this, you did that. Change it to I don't understand. I would like, you know, I would appreciate it if you would explain to me what blah, 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 blah means. Okay. So Stephen Covey in one of his books says, seek first to understand and then to be understood. This means that we should actively listen with the intent to understand and not to reply. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. According to Gary Chapman, there are 5 love languages: quality time, acts of service, gifts, words of affirmation, and physical touch. So words of affirmation may be this person's love language. And so if you are encouraging and positive, a lot of times that will diffuse the situation. How do you release anger? Well, I'm going to give you some steps, kind of like 12 steps for Alcoholics Anonymous. We're just going to call these steps for anger release. So step 1 is to acknowledge the root of your anger. You have to figure out what is the root. Next, you need to realize that God is your Father, so you have nothing to fear. Make peace with your past in order to move forward. Practice humility. Surrender whatever your situation is to God and let His will be the gauge for your life. Accept responsibility for your behavior and your choices. Stand on God's promises instead of your feelings. Control your thoughts, actions, and your speech. And with practice, you can do that. Forgive yourself and the other people around you, and choose to live a life filled with God's peace. Remember to listen with the intent to gain understanding instead of reacting and responding. And experience joy when you meditate on God's word. Keep His words in your thoughts. And when you do, just happiness is a natural byproduct of that. So last, I just want to share with you some practical tips and ideas for dealing with anger. Stress can be a trigger for becoming angry, so let's explore some practical ways to reduce this. First of all, you need to get enough rest. If you're a mama, especially if you're a single mama, you probably are not getting enough rest, and so you need to work that out. Exercise regularly. It helps because it gives you energy, increases endorphins, and gives you time to think and to calm down. Express yourself assertively. Say what you mean what you say in a calm tone. Now, if you have trouble with this, then you may have to plan difficult conversations ahead of time. For example, write down what you need to say and remember to change what you're saying to I statements. Practice speaking calmly. Assertive communication will help you with dealing with an angry person. An assertive person is self-confident and isn't afraid to say what they think or do what needs to be done. I know I've just thrown a whole lot at you, and so you have a lot to think about. It may seem overwhelming, but you can do this. You can do this. So remember, when you're dealing with someone angry, try to stay calm. One of you has got to be level-headed. Try not to take what they're saying personally. Maybe you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Let the other person express their feelings. Sometimes people just need to vent. Work towards a win-win solution, which may include agreeing to disagree. Be the bigger person, be the Christian. Take the blame if you feel led to and let it go. Give them their space. And if it's a volatile situation, you have to remove yourself from the dangerous situation and get help. Let me give you one final visual. Imagine a pitcher of water. The pitcher is made of clear glass. This pitcher represents your anger. If you hold this pitcher of water for a few minutes, it doesn't feel that heavy. If you hold it for a couple of hours, your arm is going to start to hurt. If you hold it all day, your arm will either start to cramp or feel numb. At some point, you would have to let it go, right? That's the way anger is. If you keep holding on to it, it's going to bother you more and more. Maybe your heart will beat faster. Maybe you'll start to breathe heavier. You might even start to sweat. So eventually it's going to affect you physically. So anger is just like that pitcher of water. If you are weighed down with it, you will feel it. You will physically feel it. You have to get rid of it. I want you to remember that Jesus is here for you. He loves you. He wants you to be whole, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Let me leave you with a few more verses. Proverbs 14:29. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Proverbs 19:11 says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for helping us grow as your children. Help us not to let anger rule our lives, homes, jobs, or minds anymore. Let us pursue peace. Keep us steady in the palms of your hands. We need your healing touch, Lord. Remove the strongholds that have kept us bound. Restore our joy. Release all unforgiveness from our hearts. You, Heavenly Father, are in charge of our lives, and we are your children. We will not be ruled by our emotions. Forgive us, Lord, for our pride and unforgiveness. You have blessed us in so many ways. We praise you for your gifts, for your mercy, for divine appointments, and most of all, for grace. We don't deserve anything, Lord, and yet you still love and provide for us. We surrender our will to you. Take over our thoughts. Let your light shine in us and through us. We want to be your hands and feet. Thank you, Lord, for loving us as your children. We love you, Lord. We give you thanks this day for removing the chains of anger. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining me today on Coffee and Jesus. I hope you learned something new about anger and how to control and manage it. Remember that Jesus loves you, and so do I. Be blessed.